Hi guys, it's Ryan Benesh, and you're listening to Pro Lacrosse Talk.
Right off the bat, there's Lyle Thompson.
Junior, logging it.
Kylie O'Miller showing off those shifty skills.
Schreiber driving hard down the alley, and he scores.
What a goal from Josh Bird.
Kayla Trainer
flips and scores.
Are you kidding me?
By Dylan Ward.
Gets topside, Rambo scores!
Welcome to Pro Lacrosse Talk, your go-to podcast for interviews with professional players, coaches, and executives, as well as the latest news and analysis from all three professional lacrosse leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Adam Moore and Hutton Jackson.
What's up, Pro Lacrosse fans? Welcome to another edition of Pro Lacrosse Talk presented by Fanatics. Reminder to visit prolacrossetalk.com/NLL shop or prolacrossetalk.com/NLL shop-CA for your official NLL team gear. I'm your host, Hutton Jackson, joined by my co-host, Adam Moore, as usual. Welcome everyone that's listening, as well as those who are watching in video form on Spotify. Adam, I know this is a lacrosse podcast, but your Eagles are now in the NFL playoffs. My Ravens are not. We don't have to talk about that. But how was your weekend, and how are you getting ready for this wild card weekend coming up?
Yeah, man, had a great weekend. Thanks for asking. I got to sit back on, like, the poor Ravens fans out there getting so nervous if they would make it or not. Yeah, I had an awesome weekend just sitting back, watching football, enjoying it. Won my fantasy championship a week prior, so I didn't even have to worry about that. But yeah, really excited to see the Birds take on Tom Brady. I think Jalen Hurts was 3 years old when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl, which is kind of wild. So it's been an up and down season, but right now it's on the upswing for the Birds. And you know what? I know another Philadelphia squad that started 2-5 and went on to win a championship, and that was the Philadelphia Barrage in their first season in Philly. So if the Barrage can do it, why not the Birds?
Yeah, no, definitely a much easier viewing experience for you. And, you know, as long as your team has a chance when you're in the playoffs, like, you always have a chance. So, yeah, unfortunately the Ravens are not, they've lost six of their last games, six straight to get bounced. Heartbreaker against the Steelers. You would have thought that would have been the worst experience, football viewing experience of the day for me. It was not, because I placed a parlay of the Jag money line plus the Chargers and Raiders end in a tie. And because the Jags won, I was given the option to cash out early, which I did. So rather than letting it ride and potentially winning $10,000, which was on the line, I cashed out for, you know, a nice $500, which was nice. And had to watch that game and sweat as it came down to the final 2 seconds for the Raiders to kick that field goal. So I went from hoping that there might be a tie, cashing out, to praying to God that game did not end in a tie and me make one of the biggest mistakes of my life right there. So that was not a comfortable viewing experience at all. My Sunday was quite frankly terrible. It did end on a high note though, because I did, you know, the cash out was worth it, but yeah, that was not fun. I don't ever want to do that type of bet again. If I do, I'm thinking maybe I'll bet it twice. That gave me my option to cash out one and let the other ride, kind of hedge both of them, you know, beforehand. But yeah, that was not fun at all.
And it wasn't just a big football weekend though for us, right? There was a bunch of lacrosse on too, which
I think this was the best NLL weekend that we've had so far season. So far, it was phenomenal. All these games were competitive. All of them were close. Tempers were flaring, you know, in a bunch of these games or whatever. You had big comebacks, overtime victories. It was a great weekend for the NLL. So yeah, let's get right into it. It almost went off without a hitch. Unfortunately, Calgary and Rochester had to postpone their game due to COVID concerns, so they were unable to play. But I thought it was great the way the league, you know, handled the Every Child Matters. All the players wore shooter shirts before the game to bring awareness. They were selling the shooter shirts on NLLshop.com. I think they're almost sold out now. I wasn't able to grab one in time. I think only smalls, adult smalls, are left. So there's still youth sizes available, but unfortunately, all the adult sizes are out. Hopefully, they may be restocked. But the proceeds are going to two foundations that help, you know, kind of deal with the trauma. Great for the league to show that. They had a nice little mini documentary in between games as well. So yeah, I thought the handling of that was terrific. Any thoughts on, you know, Every Child Matters and kind of what the league has done to bring light to the situation this season so far?
Yeah, anytime you can raise more awareness, educate people on something as important as this, it's super important to utilize the platform that they have to do just that. You know, I mean, I didn't really know much about the situation. And I'm sure you didn't either before players shed light on this issue. So anyway, our platform can be utilized to shed light on this and utilize it to educate others as the league is. It's something that we all have to do and be mindful of.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked to Randy Stotts last week on our podcast. He's done a lot with Turtle Island, him and Brendan Bomberry,
yep.
who Bomber will get to a little bit later, lacrosse related stuff. But along with Lyle Thompson and a bunch of other indigenous athletes in lacrosse, they've done a great job of bringing this issue to light and making it more than just an indigenous issue, because it, you know, obviously it affected the indigenous community. But, you know, it was being done by the governments of both Canada and US. So definitely research if you guys haven't researched. I know we've brought this up before, but we're going to continue to bring it up because it's that important of an issue. But onto the actual lacrosse side of things, we can start off hot in Vancouver on Friday. Mammoth versus the Warriors. I was pretty high on the Warriors. So are you. I kind of flip-flopped though on my picks because the Warriors had Keegan Ball out as well as Owen Barker. And that kind of made me think, okay, and Justin Salt as well. And that made me think, all right, those are three kind of key pieces. Maybe the Mammoth do pull this one out. So I flip-flopped, ended up being the right play, but didn't start out that way. The Vancouver Warriors started out scoring 7 goals on 7 shots, take a 7-0 lead. Looked like they were going to run away with it. Mammoth did rally though and pulled within 2 goals going into halftime. The score was 12-10 at half, 22 goals scored. That hit the total of 22 before halftime. So if you were betting the under on that game, I apologize. It was a rough night for you. You never had a chance. But thoughts on this game and Colorado's amazing comeback. They ended up winning 18-15 when all was said and done. What are your thoughts on both these teams? Do we know a little bit more about them after this game, or are they both kind of still an enigma?
I think we know they have some firepower, right? I mean, we had a guy in Ryan Lee get double digits in not only points, but assists as well. He had 2 goals on the night, but he had 10 assists, which is pretty bonkers. And Kyle Killen had a really awesome night with 4 G notes for the Warriors. But man, it was just awesome to watch. You know, you mentioned it. It's the weekend started off hot, and this one was a barn burner the entire time. So they went back and forth between first quarter and second, and then really close after that. So I really enjoyed this one, and I think these are both solid teams. Obviously, tough nights for keepers in this one early on, but I think they'll bounce back and they'll go from there. But yeah, blast to watch this one for sure to start off the weekend.
Yeah, no, and Alex Bouquet, you know, had one of his worst games, you know, obviously a worst game of the season, but worst games in a while. You know, he was playing really, really well the past 3 games. This one was kind of got away from him. He would end up being replaced eventually in the game. And Dylan Warren himself, too, didn't look too hot as well. So, you know, I'm less concerned, obviously, about Dylan Ward than I am about Bouquet. I think Bouquet will bounce back, but, you know, a little bit of concern there. I felt like I know less about these teams now. I was kind of, you know, expecting a Vancouver win that, you know, and again, I mentioned those 3 players they had missing. Those are 3 key pieces. So, you know, no disservice to those losses, but I still don't know about the Mammoth. I'm still confused. Like, you know, they obviously lay an egg on offense last week, and then this week they come out firing and, you know, sure, drop 18 goals. So, you know, I really don't know what to make of these 2 teams. I think they're still, for me, you know, top of the West, but I'd still probably put them behind the Seals, despite, you know, the Warriors obviously winning against the Seals, you know, in week 1. But yeah, definitely interesting. You know, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing some more games from these teams because I still don't know what to make of them yet. Yep. And I still think, though, betting wise, it might be smart to put a future on the Vancouver Warriors because their odds are still pretty great. They were 1800 going into this game, whereas I think the Mammoth were, you know, probably around 750 or something. So not much value on the Colorado, but definitely Vancouver would be a team to maybe just sprinkle now to kind of set yourself up for success later if they do make a playoff run.
Yeah, and you mentioned like you don't know what to make of this. One thing you do know is Reed Bowering is legit, right? Like he is, obviously we knew that he was the second overall pick, but he just had is just an absolute dominant force out there. He had 16 loose balls in this one. So that's one guy I'm just really enjoying watching early on. That's the main reason why this one was so fun to watch.
Yeah. And for a player that hasn't taken faceoffs, I believe he leads the league in loose balls. And yeah, he has been as advertised so far in his rookie season. Moving on now, we had some matinee lacrosse on Saturday. Wings Swarm in Philly. Another tight game between these two teams. They've played tight the past three games. This was no exception. And Higgins wouldn't suit up because of his injury in the past game, you know, with the ball going through his face mask. You know, that was a horrific scene when it happened. Hopefully, you know, he's doing fine now. I know he tweeted out that he's doing okay. But they ended up signing, you know, Eric Penny, who was on the Warriors and got cut, released earlier in the season. Obviously, he, you know, a veteran goaltender, and he came in and he really performed. You know, I don't think they missed a beat having him in Cage. He had 29 saves in the first half, finished with 50, which he's done a few times in his career. So that was big for the Wings to get him in Cage and to, you know, solidify that defense, because, you know, they've struggled to kind of put teams away, and this kind of reared its ugly head, you know, later in this game as well. This game was 2-2 going into half. So this is another game where it was the opposite. It looked like the under were going to be victors, and it ended up hitting over, you know, barely towards the end of the game. But yeah, I think the Wings looked better. Blaze Reardon obviously scored that overtime winner, and they kind of escaped with a win because they had the lead and blew it with less than a second left, letting Brendan Bomberry get a wide open look at the net, who tied it up. So that, I think, was, again, they have not been putting teams away in all, you know, obviously they lost their last game, but all three of their wins, they haven't been able to put teams away. And so right now they're sitting 3-1, pretty good, solid, you know, record in the East, but I'm going to need to see more from this team for me to believe that, you know, they can really challenge for the NLL title like we believe they could going into the season. I don't know. Do you have the same thoughts as me, or are you kind of differ?
Yeah, obviously you'd like to see, I'm sure, Coach Day probably would say the same thing. Wants to see them being able to pull away. But I think there is something to say for a team that comes out on the right end of close games, right? I think they've been able to do that even with something like that late goal by Bomber. Like, some teams may fold after that, you know, it giving up a late goal. We see a lot of teams that after giving up a late goal like that may not win that game. So that's just something to kind of spin it on a positive note that I really like to see. And obviously love to see Eric Penny get that W under his belt. Obviously you would like to see them pull away. I think it's good to see them have the ability to pull out and eke out close wins like that. Ben McIntosh is obviously a great addition for that squad, led them in goals in this one. So definitely another fun one to watch.
Yeah, and Lyle Thompson had 5 goals on the other end, you know, another hat trick. And, you know, he's always Lyle in, as we say. He's going to continue to keep this team in games. I think the Swarm are a little bit weaker this year, but, you know, he's been continuing to keep them in it. I will say, too, you know, to your point, they're missing Ian Lord, they're missing Steph Charbonneau, and they're missing Corey Vitarelli for the Wings, even though they got Corey Small back on offense. So they were missing some, you know, 3 key pieces there. Another, you know, look at the Warriors missing those 3 key pieces. They weren't able to come away with a victory. Wings were missing 3 key pieces and did come away with a victory. So yeah, I do see your point in that, but I still, you know, I think this coming weekend against the Firewolves is going to be another good test for them. And we'll get to that game a little bit later. But I think I speak for everyone in saying the Rock Bandits might've been the feistiest matchup this weekend between these two cross-border rivals. And it was nice too, again, Tucker out lymphoma night for them in honor of Sean Williams, a longtime NLL player for the Bandits, son Tucker, who passed away in 2014 from lymphoma. They've been doing this every year, and the Bandits continue to honor his legacy. I thought that was another great moment. Continue to, you know, to remember him, and they always do a great job. And those jerseys look great too. And then they auction them off, as well as the gear, to a good cause. I know Kicks by Carly made some gear for Ian McKay that he auctioned off. So, you know, great to see people support that cause as well. It was a great weekend for causes, you know, not only on, you know, lacrosse on the floor, but off the floor as well.
Yeah. And I did think it was funny, as you mentioned, this one did get feisty. A tweet was before and after the two squads beforehand in their jerseys. The camaraderie was there. And then not too long into the match, there was some fisticuffs. So that was a pretty funny tweet I saw over the weekend.
Yeah, no, they got into it for sure. And the Rock, you know, were without Dan Dawson and Tom Schreiber. Schreiber came off the COVID list, but he was still unable to play. And that, I think, hurt them a little bit, but I also think this Bandits team's just a wagon right now. They end up winning 12-6. It was close kind of throughout, but they just pull away. They have too much firepower. And then when you have Matt Vincent Cage, you know, it's a recipe for disaster for the other team. And Dane Smith, you know, reached 700 points mark. He's only 29 years old. He turns 30 on January 22nd. So, you know, we're going to talk later this episode with a member of the 1,000 point club in Ryan Banesh. You got Dane Smith that's already at the 700 points mark. I mean, just absurdity right now. He's headed for an illustrious career, but we get to enjoy him in his prime right now. And, you know, this offense is lights out. Chase Frazier had a big game. I don't think anyone gets a crowd going like Chase Frazier. He did when he was on the Chaos, and he definitely did today. And he definitely did against the Rock and Bandit Land as well. But you mentioned the fisticuffs were flying. You know, we had like a team-wide brawl kind of midway through the game, late in the third quarter. And then towards the end of the game, when it was out of reach, we had a tilt from Host Strouser and Jordan Storos. And then Brent Noseworthy and Sheldon Burns went at it right at the end of the regulation. So, yeah, these teams do not like each other. I'm really looking forward to part two in Hamilton on February 12th. But overall, thoughts on the Bandits as, you know, the top team in the NLL right now up there with the Thunderbirds. So that matchup, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer between those two teams, but that matchup is something to mark on your calendars. But do you think the Bandits are the real deal?
Oh, without a doubt, they have it on both sides of the floor in Cage and on the offensive side too. So, I mean, they really relayed everything from the PLL season, all those guys into a hot start for the Bandits this year. So they're an absolute wagon right now, as you mentioned.
Yeah, those roommates could win back-to-back titles in less than a year at this rate, you know, and it's a long season. So yeah, still a lot of lacrosse play. I still think the Rock are a solid team too. Obviously two key pieces that they were missing in this game, but I think they'll have a better showing come February 12th. Looking forward to that for sure. Other two games in the weekend, the Seals played Panther City. Pretty bad beat for Panther City plus 2.5 bettors as it was 14-12. With seconds ticking down, but you know, the Panther City team was trying to give themselves a chance at pulling within one, and it ended up resulting in Cam Holding scoring an empty netter to give the final score of 15-12. So if you had Panther City plus 2.5, which our friend Dan Alexander did, that was a bad beat for you. So pretty disappointing. Underdogs that are 2.5 point underdogs are now 4-1 against the spread instead of 5-0, which it could have been. So give credit to Panther City for hanging around, and give a shout out on the Seals side to Chris Origlieri, who at 19 years old made his first start in the NLL and came away with a win. So credit to him. I'm feeling old now, Adam. I'm sure you are too, that these pro athletes who were born in the 2000s are coming around. So it's kind of a weird feeling having someone that's born in the 2000s make their pro debut.
Yeah, absolutely. Bonkers. We're seeing it in way too many sports right now. We need to kind of slow things down.
It's just going to be more and more. We just have to accept it at this point. And then another game, the Firewolves, they got their first victory against the Rush. Dougie Jameson held them to 5 goals. He made 31 saves in this game. And we also had Ryan Banesh, who made his debut after being traded from Panther City. He had 2 goals. And we got to actually speak to Ryan after the game. So let's hear from him in our interview earlier this week. Today on Pro Lacrosse Talk, we are lucky to be joined by 15-year veteran, one of only 11 players to crack the 1,000 career point mark, and newest member of the Albany Firewolves, Ryan Banesh. Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's start off with this Firewolves debut. You were traded to the Firewolves earlier this past week. You scored 2 goals in the game against the Rush, you know, after just being traded days prior, and you guys ended up coming away with the win, Albany's first win of the season. What was the atmosphere like in Albany?
It was awesome. You know, for being in COVID times right now, I thought, you know, we had a lot of fans at the arena, and they were nice and loud and very passionate. And, you know, they brought the energy that we needed to succeed on the floor. So it was a good team win. I thought, you know, from top to bottom, everybody just played a great game.
Great to hear. And, you know, talking about Albany a little bit more, the trade from Panther City reunited you with Glenn Clark, who coached you during your time in Toronto. What was that reunion like?
It was nice to see him again, that's for sure. You know, it's been a long time since Clark, he coached me in Toronto. So, you know, a lot of things are different. A lot of things have changed since, you know, my first 2 years in the league when he coached me in Toronto. But, you know, I've always admired Clarke as a coach. He's, you know, he's a calm, collected guy, and he's very well knowledge. So, you know, I'm happy to be a part of the Firewolves.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, you've been traded before in your career. In fact, you were drafted by the San Jose Stealth before being traded to Toronto, where we just mentioned you played under Glenn Clarke for two seasons. Where does this trade from Panther City to Albany kind of rank in most surprising or least surprising? And, you know, kind of recount some of your past trades. You know, where does this kind of line up?
Man, that's a tough question. I mean, surprise wise, I was actually fairly surprised. I didn't really know it was coming. It's never a good thing when your GM calls you on a Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock out of the blue. So once I saw Bob Hamley's name pop up on my phone, I figured something was going on. So he told me, you know, he called and told me that he traded me to Albany, in order, you know, kind of help me out. Obviously I have a new son that was born 6 weeks ago, and travel to Panther City is a little bit tougher than it is to go to Albany. So, you know, I'm really appreciative of him looking out for me in that way. It was a fun time in Panther City. You know, everybody was so welcoming and so kind, and, you know, Greg Bibb treated us like gold, and, you know, I can only say thank you for allowing me to be a part of the history of the team, you know, the startup of the team. And I got nothing bad to say. I wish them all the best.
That's great to hear. And I have to say, you know, you've been traded a bunch of times and you never ended up in Philly. Like I've been a Wings fan since I was a toddler, and every time you get traded, I'm like, oh, maybe he's coming to the Wings. And I always have to go against you when I was rooting as a fan. So, you mentioned you're a proud papa now. How has that experience been for the first few months?
Oh, it's been awesome. Yeah, it's surreal. You know, you wake up and you go downstairs, and, you know, my wife, she's very supportive of me, through this whole, you know, situation. I'm working night shift right now, and then, you know, going away for weekends at a time to play lacrosse. So, I get home and I spend some time with her, and I spend some time with my boy, and, you know, it's an unreal feeling, you know, to be a father. And I know it's just begun, and, you know, I'm excited to, you know, to venture down that path of fatherhood later on in life too, when I can teach them, you know, how to play hockey and how to play lacrosse and other sports. So it's just, so far it's been an amazing journey, and yeah, it's just incredible.
You know, it'll be nice to hopefully see another Vinesh down the road in the NLL, hopefully, right?
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be.
Are you gonna do, even though this is year 15, are you gonna try and do the LeBron and maybe play with Park one day?
Yeah, that would be awesome, right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll be coaching at some point. Who knows, right?
Love it. And now, you know, you won't play Panther City in the regular season, but you will be facing Halifax, who you were a member of last year, twice now that you're in the East Division. Any conversations with your former Thunderbirds teammates?
A couple of them. Yeah. I still keep in contact with Shanksy, Stephen Keogh, Wiz. You know, we have a little group chat that we have. You know, we talk regularly. So I talk to Stephen pretty much every week just to see how he's doing, how things are going. And I might have told him that I can't wait to run him through the boards in a couple of weeks. But, you know, we were roommates for a long time, for a few years, right? So Stephen and I have a very solid friendship, and it's going to be weird playing against them, but you know, it's a business, and, you know, we're going to try and do anything we can to get the win.
We mentioned at the top of the show how you've racked up a bunch of points. You have had a phenomenal career, but you haven't gotten that first ship under your belt yet. And you got really close in 2016 with the Bandits. How much does that really drive you in year 15 to try and get one under your belt?
Yeah, it's pretty much the only reason why I'm still playing, to be honest with you. It's the one trophy that's eluded me my entire lacrosse career. I've been bounced around from team to team, and I've had some close calls, but ultimately, you know what, like, the goal is on any team that you're a part of, the goal is to win the championship. So being a part of the Firewolves here, I think we got a good chance. You know, before COVID hit. They were first in the league. So, you know, they still have all the pieces there too. And if Dougie Jameson plays the way that he played on Saturday night, we're in very good shape.
You know, he looked like he was back at peak performance, you know, only allowing 5 goals against a Rush team that's, you know, pretty good too. So it was a good win for you guys. What's the vibe been overall in Albany now that you've been there? I know you've only been there for, you know, a little bit over a week now, but what's the vibe been like?
It's just excitement to continue. You know, I think that win against Saskatchewan really was a very uplifting moment in the locker room. Obviously, losing your first 2 games of the season isn't something that you want to do, but to bounce back and have a statement win like that against a team like Saskatchewan is a pretty good thing to have going into your next week's game.
No, absolutely. Well, now we're going to move on to our 5-on-5 segment. I'll ask you 5 lacrosse questions, and we'll ask you 5 off-the-floor questions. My first one is, what are some pregame superstitions or routines that you have, and how have they kind of changed throughout your career?
Pregame superstitions, I tend to just do everything the same every weekend. So I wake up, have breakfast, have a coffee, shoot around, nap, and then go to the game. And then when it comes time to putting my equipment on, I tend to put everything on my right side first before my left.
Gotcha. Awesome. Number 2, what has been your favorite venue to play lacrosse at? And that can be, you know, away venue, home venue, throughout your entire career.
I gotta say Buffalo or Colorado for sure. Just, you know, they get the most fans, and it was like, how can you not say Bannetland, really, if you've played there, you know, and if you've watched games, you know how exciting they are too. So I'd say Bannetland for sure.
Yeah, Bannetland and the Loud House in Colorado are definitely 2 that are most mentioned all the time by both players that play for those teams and those that don't as well. So great environments. Number 3, what is your current stick setup in terms of head shaft and stringing?
My stick is, I have an Under Armour Charge head, I believe. It's just a mid-high pocket, 4 shooting strings. So 3 across and 1 U. I think I might be the only guy that still does the horseshoe in a stick in the league, but I get my buddy Patty Saunders to string up my sticks. I just actually went to his house last week and picked up a few that he dialed up for me so that I could actually play a decent game on Saturday.
Love it. Yeah, I actually used to use the U too. And then when I got to college, they outlawed the U in field lacrosse. And so I had to go away from it. I haven't used it since then, but I loved having, I had the W actually when I was in high school or whatever, and get that hold.
I don't know. They work.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Number 4, who is a lacrosse player you either looked up to when you were younger or has been a mentor during your career?
There's been a few. Obviously, Colin Doyle is one of them, mm-hmm. being from Kitchener. He also coached me in junior, so I was fortunate enough to learn a lot from him. Guys like Aaron Wilson, you know, Josh Sandersons, and obviously, you know, John Tavares, John Grant Juniors. You know, you watch them and you try to emulate your game a little bit of each one of those guys and take some pieces from their game and add it to yours. So, I've been fortunate to watch and play with, you know, a lot of those great players.
No, and you're, you know, in the rankings with them too, in career points as well. So a nice community that you guys have in the top lacrosse players in the NLL for sure. Moving on now to the 5th and final question of the lacrosse-related ones. If they made an NLL video game, who would you say deserves to be on the cover? Obviously, you just mentioned some legends right there, but, you know, it can be a current player or former player.
Current player? I don't want his head to get any bigger than it already is, but I'd probably say Dane Smith. You know, he's one of the best in the game right now. Challen Rogers would be a good fit too. Who else could we throw up there? Mark Matthews, obviously. You know, he's a stud. Lyle Thompson. There's so many guys you could put up there. Just take your pick of whoever. It could be, anybody, man. Like, there's so many guys you could throw up on that cover.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
All right, and then I'll take the non-lacrosse related question. So sticking with sports was number one, though. You mentioned you like hockey. I'm curious if that's going to be your answer, but favorite athlete that doesn't play lacrosse that you're like watching right now?
Athlete that doesn't play lacrosse? Geez, right now. Probably Austin Matthews. Yeah, I'd say. Just the way that he can shoot the puck is amazing, right? Like, you just watch him. He looks so nonchalant in his game, and then he just fires a puck at 100 miles an hour and top G's. So I'd say Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner even, too.
Both good.
Yeah, both fun to watch.
Number two, what are some hobbies? I know being a dad takes up a little bit of your time probably, but how about hobbies you enjoy when you're not on the floor?
Man, I don't really have too much time for hobbies right now.
Yeah.
Usually I just, you know, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed, and then I'm busy with the family. But no, like if I have time to do stuff, it's usually just hanging out with friends, right? Just staying in touch. You know, go outside on the pond, out back, play a little bit of shinny or something.
Nice, good stuff. Number three, favorite spot to vacation.
Well, I haven't been on too many, so right now I'm gonna have to say Dominican Republic. My wife and I went a couple of years ago. That was a pretty fun trip. But I've always wanted to go to the Maldives. The Maldives, or is that how you say it? Maldives, that looks unreal. But pretty much anywhere that's got an open bar would be a good place to go.
Yeah, it checks it off the list, right? Love it. And obviously, with open bar, you got to have a good meal too. So, favorite meal.
Chicken parm.
Okay.
Chicken parm or sushi. Actually, sushi would be tops if it's fresh. Okay. It's got to be fresh.
All right. Good. Yeah. I think
chicken parm's usually a staple, and sushi's moving up the list, I think.
For sure. Definitely chicken parm has been the pantheon of answers for our guests on the show, but sushi definitely has been going up.
Like, chicken parm is like pretty much all we ever get, right? Yeah. For like 15 years, I swear every weekend I'm eating chicken parm.
Subconsciously, you got to make it your number one, right?
Yeah.
And then last off the field question, you binging, and I know you mentioned you don't have too much time, but you binging any shows, any recommendations, TV, podcasts, anything like that right now?
Yellowstone, actually. I finally jumped on the train.
Nice.
I've been binge watching it like crazy. Probably shouldn't be, because I should probably be sleeping when I get a chance, but no, I'm almost caught up on Yellowstone. And then, you know, there's Sons of Anarchy I was into for a while. That's a wicked show. You can't go wrong with that one. And Breaking Bad was awesome too.
Nice. Yeah, I did the same thing. I recently had a kiddo a little bit before you, about 7 months ago. So the binging at like 3 a.m. when it's bottle time or whatever, Yellowstone. Yeah. And I think some of my choices probably weren't the best. It's like Yellowstone, Vikings, some stuff a kid probably shouldn't watch. Maybe subconsciously she might be taking some of that in down the road. But
it's all right. They won't remember.
They're young enough right now. That wraps up our 5 and 5. My final question I always like to ask our guests is, what is some advice that you have for a young player looking to one day play lacrosse professionally?
Take all the advice that you can get from anybody, you know, and always keep your stick in your hand. I know it's a cliche amongst lacrosse players, but, you know, keeping that stick in your hand and hitting the wall whenever you can, you know, I know it's not easy all the time to get to an arena and take shots on the net. So your next best thing is getting to a school and finding some bricks and, you know, aiming for a spot on those bricks and honing in your skills. Right. I've always said that, in order to be successful, you have to put in the work off the floor just as much as you do on the floor. So, you know, keeping that stick in your hand and doing anything you can, taking any advice that you can get from coaches or players, you know, will take you a long way too.
No, I think that's some great advice for our young listeners. Well, we certainly appreciate you hopping on, Ryan, and best of luck going forward with the Albany Firelands.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. So we appreciate Ryan hopping on this episode with us. Again, illustrious career, 36 years old, still kicking it, looking for that championship. You know, maybe this is the year that the Fire Wolves make a run, and he does get that. They certainly showed up this weekend and looked like the team we knew them they were before the pause last NLL season. So, I'm still trying to figure out the Fire Wolves. I think it's going to be another tough test against the Wings. So that's a good segue right now into our matchup of the week. We both agree on this one. The Fire Wolves versus the Wings, the new Wings versus the old Wings franchise. Thoughts on this game, and what are you looking forward to most in this upcoming matchup between the Fire Wolves and the Wings in Philly?
Yeah, this is obviously a big one for Wings fans, the old franchise versus the new franchise. At the dot, you have Trevor Baptiste and Joe Nardella, two of the best face-off guys in the world going at it. So this is going to be a super interesting matchup, especially with how potent this Wings offense is. You mentioned Dougie Jameson, and Ryan also mentioned him and how well he's playing. So this will be a really interesting matchup. I'm really excited to watch this one this weekend.
Yeah, me too. And again, I think it'll be another good test for the Wings. Again, they're 3-1. I know I keep criticizing them for not, putting away teams, but this is going to be another tough test for them. Another matinee lacrosse too, Saturday afternoon in Philadelphia. So another nice weekend afternoon game for us lacrosse fans. Yeah, this is mine to look out for. You know, obviously the battle at the dot's big. In Cage too, I think we'll get Eric Penny probably back again. Maybe we'll get Higgins, but regardless of who it is in Cage for the Wings, going to be a good goalie matchup between him and Dougie Jameson. You got two offenses that have shown they can score. Obviously the Fire Wolves have been down a little bit this year. I still have some key offensive pieces, and the Wings obviously are a wagon on offense. So, I don't know how I kind of feel. We don't know the total just yet. So I don't know how I feel about this one total wise, but I think it could be one of the more lowest scoring games of the weekend, just given who we're going to have in Cage, but we'll definitely have to see. It's going to be a battle, and is it going to be another overtime for the Wings fans? We'll have to see. But that moves us to our game picks. I'm taking the Bandits, Seals, Wings, Thunderbirds, and Panther City this weekend. Adam, who are you taking?
I'm going Bandits, Seals. I know it's probably sacrilegious and my Philly sports card may be taken away, but I'm going Firewolves in that one without how well they're playing. Going Rock, and I'm sticking with Panther City for another week for them to get that first dub.
Yeah, I do think Panther City, this is a good spot for them. Riptide have been off for a little while, so they're going to have some time to prepare, but I do like Panther City. I feel like Panther City coming off of this, even though it was a tough loss, is giving them a little bit more momentum than the Riptide will have. I think, the Riptide could maybe get off to a sluggish start. So I think this is a good spot for Panther City. And I think you can maybe keep your Philly card, even though you're not rooting for the Wings, you are rooting for an old Wings franchise. So might be a technicality there that you're able to keep that Philly sports card. But those are our picks for the weekend. Before we get going, we do have some PLL stuff to discuss because roster movement is coming up. The offseason is about to start on January 18th. So less than a week away as of recording this podcast, which means we're going to be getting some PLL offseason news very soon. Coaches will have the ability to make roster moves on January 18th and before January 24th when the player signing window starts. So you could see some coaches make some moves, whether dropping or adding players from the player pool or even some trades. Any big names on your radar, Adam, in terms of people that might move during the signing window?
Yeah, one guy I'm curious if he'd stick around. I've been talking up the Fire Wolves, and that's one of their big guys in Andrew Q. I really thought he was going to have a bigger role with the Cannons last year. Coach Quirk, I was really excited when he traded for him right before the season last year. And I think he could be an absolute dominant force for someone who's looking for a guy like that. Obviously, Lyle Thompson loves playing with Shane Jackson, and I think that probably had a big role in why he didn't produce as much. But I think in the right situation, Andrew Q could be super dominant in the PLL next summer.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it'll be interesting too what coaches decide to do, because they have to, finalize their roster before the 24th. So that way they can start making those signings and restructuring contracts to, get within that threshold that they have now this coming season. So not really a free agency period per se, but pretty close to one in terms of, there is still going to be some player movement. And a player that I think is going to be on the move is Jake Furcaro. I think he's too good to not be starting, you know, not, you know, being a healthy scratch on this Chaos team. Obviously they won a championship without him. And that's not a disservice to him or to Andy Towers for not playing him. He, you know, Andy Towers joined us on the podcast after they won, and he laid out the reasons why they went with a different offensive personnel than Fracaro. But I think that gives Coach Towers some leverage to trade Fracaro maybe for some pieces. So I don't know where he'll end up. My proposed trade would maybe to see him actually go to the Cannons, and maybe the Chaos get a defender back, maybe like a Holden Garland. I don't think you'll see Brody Merrill necessarily go back to the Chaos, but I do think that while this defense played well down the stretch, they could add another defender, especially given that Johnny Surdick and his military commitments might not always be available. So I'd like to see them maybe trade Fracaro to the Cannons. And, you know, I don't know if Coach Quirk will go for that, but maybe they get Holden Garland back as a defender. Sure. And, you know, they have a spot opened up now on midfield with Rabel retiring, and Connor Busick may not have many more seasons. So that's the other thing, is with some of these retiring players, there's some spots opened up for some of these rosters. Another team, the Chrome, they could be a destination too, because Joel White and John Galloway opened up some spots, obviously different position, but I think maybe they could also be in for Fracaro, and they also have a lot of defenders that they could trade. You could see James Barclay, who played with, you know, Jared Newman at Providence, maybe get traded. He's also a versatile, he could play short stick, defensive midi, and pole. I think Chaos are pretty good at short stick defensive midi right now, but wouldn't hurt to have someone of his caliber, you know. And I think whatever it ends up being, Chaos are going to get some picks back. You could see, you know, them traded. He could get traded for some players, but I think they're going to get picks back. So those are the two spots I think would make the most sense, but I wouldn't rule out the Archers either, given the fact that Fracaro played under Coach Bates and played with Tom Schreiber when he was at Princeton for a couple years. So that's also, you know, something to look out for. I just think given Archer's crowdedness on offense, it makes it a little bit unlikely that that happens, but we'll have to see, you know. And there's still a realistic possibility he gets released if a trade can't get done. Again, that's not really a disservice to him. It's more just the fact that if the market's not available for someone to, you know, want his services, you could see him, you know, drop to the player pool. I don't think it happens. I think Coach Towers gets something for him and is able to trade him to another team. I think there's going to be some teams in for him, but he's a player that I'm looking out for to kind of watch where he ends up, because I think he might be on the move before this signing window starts on January 24th. But that is our episode for this week. Enjoy talking with you as always, Adam. We are not going to have a Twitter Spaces this weekend, but we will going forward. So next week, have to sit tight this week, and we'll miss you guys on Twitter for sure. But we appreciate you guys tuning into that as well. Appreciate you tuning in this episode. Thank you, Ryan Banesh, for joining us this episode as well. It's always great to talk to one of the legends of the game. And we hope, you know, that he is able to make that run and get an NLL Cup before his career is over. But we appreciate y'all listening. We appreciate you tuning in on Twitter each week. We appreciate you tuning in on Spotify and watching this episode if you're watching. And we hope you tune in next time to Pro Lacrosse Talk.